We continue our learning of Nishmas Dovid Ben Menachem Mishem Cham Yaakov Mipenech Oseliyo. We are in Bava Basra, Perakei Mishnah Beis. Hamocher Sachamur Lo Machar Kalim. Person sells a donkey, says the Tanakam, but that does not include its kalim, its utensils. What type of utensils are we talking about? So the Bar Tanura says the following. He says, "Bekalim ha'asuyim l'rechiva." If we're speaking about the utensils needed for riding, could go ukaf umardas, which is the saddle or the blanket that's placed on the donkey. Everyone agrees. We'll see a machlokas in the mission between the Tanakama and Nachum Hamadi, what's included in the sale of a chamor. Everyone agrees that which is needed for riding, since a donkey is sold, is used primarily for riding. So the kalim that are needed for riding, like a saddle, are definitely included. Kulei malo pligi dekana afilu ena malav b'shas mechir. That would be true even if when you sell the donkey, the saddle's not sitting on it. Doesn't matter; it's automatically sold. Ki pligi the machlokas in this mishnah is bekalim shel masui. We're speaking about the kalim that are used for the carrying gear, like a sack or something like that, which is used to carry the burden. Whether that kli is included or not. So Tanakama says, Hamocher Sachamor Lo Machar Kalev, the carrying gear is not included. Yeah, the saddle is, but that's not included. Nachum Hamadi Omer, Machar Kalev, the kalim are included. But that's true according to Nachum Hamadi. That's only if the donkey was wearing those kalim, that the sack, let's say, at the time that it was sold. According to Tanakama, even if it's wearing the sack at the time it's sold, it's not included. So it's said because that's not part of a chamor. Chamor is used primarily for riding. Nachum Hamadi says, no, machar kalim, the kalim are included. The sacks are included as long as it's wearing them when the sale is taking place. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, third opinion, depends. Pa'ami mechurin u'parmi eno mechurin. The sacks, the carrying gear, sometimes is considered sold and sometimes it's not. Ketzad, hayachamor lefanav the kalim alav. If the donkey is standing in front of the person who's about to buy it and the carrying sacks are on it, va'amalo. And the seller said, and the buyer said to the seller, "Mechur li chamor chazer, can you sell me this? Sell me this chamor." And the chamor has the kalim on top of it. Hare kalim mechur. The kalim are included. Why? Because the fact that he said chamor zeh, this particular chamor, instead of just sell me your chamor, but this chamor, that means I want to buy the donkey that as it is, which is with the sacks that are on it, with the kalim that are used for carrying on top of it. If you just said, normally you say, sell me a chamor, or sell me or you sell me your chamor. But the fact said, this chamor means you had in mind that you want to buy the kalim. Kona Tanakama, those are not included, even if you said, chamor zeh, and the kalim, and it's certainly if they're on top of it, it doesn't matter. According to Nachum Hamadi, we assume that the kalim have to be on top of it, and that would be true even if you didn't say chamor zeh. Rabbi just says, the kalim have to be on top of it, yeah, but you have to say chamor zeh. But what about chamor chohu? This, what does it mean chamor chohu? But he saw the donkey and said, and Bar Tanura says, what do you mean chamor chohu? Have a kishow elo. It's as if he's asking, chamor chohu? Ooh, is this your chamor? Mechur osoli. Could you sell it to me? That's chot mocher stam. That's where he doesn't specify anything. And there says Rabbi Yehuda, if you say chamor chohu, so then the kalim are not included, even if they are on top of the animal. So as opposed to the Nachum Hamadi would say if the kalim are on top of the animal, it doesn't matter if it's a chamor chazer or chamor chohu, Rabbi Yehuda says it does matter. If the kalim have to be on top, but only if you say chamor chazer, if you say chamor chohu, is this your chamor, sell it to me, then we don't assume that the kalim that are on top, the carrying kalim that are on top, are sold, even though they're sitting there on top, because you didn't say chamor chazer. Once again, this is all the kalim that are used for carrying, the kalim that are used for riding, are automatically included according to everybody. So once again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he said mecholi chamor chazahare kalim mechurin, chamor chohu ein kalav mechurin. Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel. Hamocher es hachamor, machar es hasiach. Siach is a foal, is the baby chamor. So why would I assume that if you're selling a chamor, the mother, you're selling along with the siach? So Bar Tanura says, Benosha chamor gemar. The gemar daf ayin chesem beis mukila establishes the case of the Mishnah kagon sha'amalo chamor meinika ani mocher locha, where the seller says, I'm selling you this female nursing chamor, dechalo. of ha'ason l'bay mahanya, this milk of a donkey, of a female donkey, what does it help? No one's drinking that. Obviously, what he meant by this, I'm selling this chamor, which is nursing, I mean that I'm selling you the child along with it. As opposed to, let's say, a cow, as the Mishnah says here, machar es hapara lo machar es bena. If you say, I'm selling you this nursing cow, that doesn't mean that I'm selling you the child along with it, because the nursing cow means something. Says the Bar Tanuva, seva damar para menikani machar lach lo kana es bena. You don't assume that the child is included in the sale. The para the chalavo menis, because para's milk we do drink. Para v'chalavo kalamar. That's all he's saying. I'm not saying, when I say I'm selling you a nursing cow, that doesn't assume it includes a child. I'm saying a nursing cow means you're going to have a cow and you'll be able to have milk from it. As opposed, but because of the chamor, you say I'm selling you a nursing chamor, then machar es asiach, the foal is included. Then the Mishnah says machar ashba, you sell a trash heap. We assume that there's fertilizer in here. So machar zivlo, we assume the manure that's included is included as well. We're speaking about a pile that is raised, let's say three tefach, and that's considered significant. And then the Mishnah says machar bor, machar meimav. Person sells a pit, so that includes the water as well. And that's what we're speaking about in the pit also, three tefachim deep, or the trash of three tefachim high, and they use that to store manure for fertilizer. So that's why if you sell an ashpa means a significant height, three tefachim high, so that includes the zevel. You sell a boar, that includes the mayim. Machar kaveris, you sell a beehive, we assume machar devarim. Even in all these cases, you didn't specify the fertilizer, you didn't specify in the case of the ashpa, you didn't specify the water in the case of the pit, you didn't specify the bees when you sold the beehive. Doesn't matter, they're automatically included. And machar shovach, if you sell a dove coat, machar yonim, we assume the pigeons, the birds are included as well. They are considered secondary, and according to the Tan of this Mishnah, they're therefore included in the sale. Bar Tanur points out that the Gemara does not, that the majority opinion disagrees with it. This is a das yachid, machlis nichidoi. It's actually Rabbi Nassan's opinion on the Gemara daf ayin tes. Upligi Rabbanan Allah, says the Bar Tanur. The Rabbanan disagree. The majority opinion says it's not true. V'amar machi bor lo machar meimav, that when it comes to the case of the boar, let's say, so the water is not included. And in the other cases as well, you sell if you sell an ashpa, we don't assume the zevel is included. That's the opinion of Tanakama. That follows, that's actually consistent with what we learn in early in the parak. We speak about this in the first mission. We spoke about if you sell a ship, it doesn't include the cargo. So the same thing here. If I sell an ashpa, it doesn't include the zevel. I sell the boar, it doesn't include the mayim. However, everyone would agree. Let's say the other one. Let's say I'm selling you the manure, just the pile, or just that which is in the pile, which means the manure itself, or the contents of the pit, meaning the water itself. I sell you the manure, I'm selling you the water, but I'm certainly not selling you the whole pile or the boar. That's certainly not included. I sold you what's inside. I'm not selling it. Certainly does not automatically include the pit itself, etc. Then Mishnah continues, Halokeach peros shovach mechaver. Here someone is buying, and the Bar Tanur says, Masha yoldu hayonim kol hashana. So a person buys from his friend, listen, I'm paying you now for all of the peros, so that which is produced, all the pigeons that are, the birds that are born, from your dovecote over the balance of the year. So that's what he's going to pay. Now normally, we don't sell something that shalom bala olam, that doesn't yet exist. So selling the future production of things is usually not considered a sale because there's nothing tangible there. But when it comes to these things, a beehive, a dovecote, that's an exception because the dovecote already exists. And the beehive rather already also exists. So we assume that the seller is selling everything it's already there. And whatever it will produce is going to be reduced. Not that it's automatically going to be produced. The point is because that property is there, the beehive is there, and the dovecote is there. So then he has the rights to all of it, and that's why it can be sold. Even normally, we don't sell davar shalom b'olam that has not yet come into existence. Then the mish. So once again, halokech peros shovel v'chaver. So what's the halacha here? Person buys the peros, that which will be produced from the shovel of his friend. Mafriach brecha rishona. Literally means he's supposed to chase away the first brecha, the first pair. What does it mean, brecha? What do you mean, the first pair of pigeons? So Bar Turner says like this, brecha rishona v'yanichena lemocher. When you have to do, you remember, you're the buyer, you bought the pigeons for the year. So the first two pigeons that are born, you have to make sure they don't come to your eyes, so you chase them back to the seller. Why do they belong to the seller? Didn't you buy them? So he explains, v'chol shnei v'lados kruin brecha, any pair of lados is called a brecha. U'manichan in imam. And you have to leave them with their mother to go back to the original property, to the original owner, even though you bought the produce, you bought the birds. Kidei lios litzav salimam. They'll be for companionship for the moshalo yivruchu. The point is that we usually, the way pigeons give birth is you have one pair of pigeons, they usually bat once a month, and that happens 11 months out of 12 months of the year, except for the month of Adar. And the newborn, the way the Rashbam explains on Daf Pei, I can't verify this, but the Rashbam, if this is really true biologically, but this is what the Rashbam says. And the newborn pigeons, also, they produce every month offspring as well. And they do that once they're about 2 months old, they're able to do so. So if you think about a single pair of breeding pigeons in a shovach, you'll have about 35 pairs of pigeons throughout the year. So that's what he's paying for. So although he bought all of the pigeons, he has to make sure that that first breeding pair, the original breeding pair, go back. Because if you want them to, you have to chase them away because they need to go back to the parents, go back to the mother, in order for them to continue producing. I didn't the buyer buy all of the pigeons. Yeah, but the seller didn't sell the dovecote. He sold the pigeons. And what it means, and the assumption there is that he's going to keep the original pair that breeds, so more pigeons can be produced the following year for himself. That's why. What are we afraid of? Well, that first breeding pair, they're going to fly away from the dovecote if all the offspring are going to be removed. So that's why we need at least the first pair to come back, chase away that first pair of pigeons that were born after the sale, so they can stay with the parents, and the parents will continue to produce. The Gemara even says that the first pair of the next generation, the grandchildren, also have to be chased back to the original property, so the first pair of children won't run away when all of its children are going to be taken away. So once you have a total of six birds, the children, parents, or the three generations, children, parents, and grandparents, they'll all stay around, and then we know the dovecote will continue to produce. So that's what the Mishnah means. Halokach peros shovach v'chaver, a person who purchases the production of that which throughout the year of what that which this shovach will produce, v'chaver, from his friend, he doesn't buy the shovach, but rather the peros of the shovach, mafriach v'recha rishona, that first pair of pigeons has to be literally chased back to the parents, to the breeding pigeons. Peros kaveres, person buys the production of a beehive, meaning all of the bees that are going to be born within the balance of the year. Note shlosha nechilim umasares. He takes the first three nechilim swarms of the bees that leave the hive. And then after that, so that's what it means. Note shlosha nechilim umasares. Masares means after that he takes every other swarm, like we have a seirusin, means to every other one. So the Bar Tanura says, he says, "Umisham ve'elech misares kloma notel achas." He takes one swarm and leaves one for the mocher. They'll be raised and connect with the parents. So the kaveres remains and it could continue to produce. So this way, every other, that's what misares means to cut it. But this way, you're cutting every other one. You keep one and one you leave. Chalos devash, person who purchases chalos devash, who bought honeycombs on the hive, maniach shtei chalos. He has to leave two honeycombs in the hive, so the bees can eat the honey during the winter, and the hive will continue to produce, not be destroyed. Vzeisim lakotz, maniach shtei grofios. And if a person put the branches of olive trees to cut down, he wanted to use them, let's say, for firewood, maniach shtei grofios, he has to leave two branches for the seller. Why? Since the branches were sold, not the tree, he has to leave enough for the tree will be able to continue to grow. Choser v'tzomeach, as the Bar Turner says.